There we go. Right. Sorry, you were talking about the bus. So whose bus was it?
Well, the bus was operated by Arthur Melville.
Right.
He and his brother Eddie had the Alf Clappy Hotel.
Okay.
They were both bachelors when I first became aware of them. Arthur married, and he built the bungalow that's down at the junction for the Blackwater Road.
Okay.
He built
right.
the one that's on there when he got married. But Arthur run the bus up and down Blairgowrie, right up until, oh gosh, when did he take it over? I don't quite know, but he retired and Bill Kiro took over the bus after that, and then eventually, I'm not quite sure what happened. I think some of the national companies took it on, but it was a privately, and it was an ex army bus exit. It must have been surplus.
Okay.
But Arthur, I think, was a mechanic, and he maintained it all himself.
So he drove it as well.
Oh yes, yeah. Aye. That was, and we never thought anything about it, but it must have been quite a small bus. 20-something seats, 28 seats at the most. But that bus ran, as I say, twice a day to Blair and back. Down and up, yeah. And I think there was an extra run on the Saturday. Yeah, there was a run about 5 o'clock, back at five. There's no buses on Sunday,
right,
but
yeah.
on a Saturday, if you wanted to go to the pictures in Blairgowrie, the buses were so timed that you were never able to, unless you got the very first bus in the morning,
yeah.
you could never get to Blair to see the start of a film. So, you know, for the first years of my life, when I went to the pictures in Blairgowrie, I never saw a film from start to finish. They always went in the middle and you saw the end of it, and then you had to sit through all the ads and whatnot, and then you got the start, but you had to get out before the end of the film because the bus left at 9:45,
and they never thought about changing so, that.
No. So it was a strange film going experience, but I've seen that bus crawling up through Craighall Woods on a Saturday night, just packed with people. And when I say packed, I really mean packed, the number of people that was on it
coming back from the
ground, it's all the way up, yeah, because everybody would be getting home. And there was another bus operated, Hugh McLaughlin from Bridgercarlie Hotel. He ran a bus which went up Glensheen, Blackwater. I'm never very sure exactly how far, but he did the sort of equivalent school runs up there.
Right.
So most of the passengers that got the bus, there'd be one or two that got off before they got to Bridgercarlie, but most of it was grinding up the hills, up out of Bridgercarlie, up the glen. Backed, quite an experience when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know.
And you were saying that like it wasn't just for passengers, it was like
during the day people would get things sent up from, when I think about it, I don't know how they organised it, because not many people had telephones.
Yeah.
But there would be a standing order, the butcher would be told. I know that my mother used to get stuff off the bus. And they must have just had a standing order, or they told the butcher, send this up, and they would pay the account. And of course, the other things, you had the Coke van,
right,
as well.
Yeah.
It would come around. It was just a mobile shop.
Yeah.
And it would come twice a day, so they would get the normal stuff. But fresh butcher meat was a different thing altogether. But that could come up on the Coke van as well. But as I say,
somehow they organised it.
It was all organised, yes. Uh-huh. And normal parcel post type stuff that the post office would deal with. that was on separate, that was on the post van in the mornings. But anything that had to be delivered from the shops in Blairgowrie, they all came up in the bus.
Right, yeah. So what sort of, would you say there was like a sense of like community about each village, or would you say
there
was a whole...
Oh yes, the thing is, everyone knew everyone else.
Yeah.
If I've long enough to think about it, I can name just about everybody that lived in the village up until... Certainly I went to Blair School. And after that, there'd be one or two others come in, but you knew everyone, and you knew one or two people in another village. As well as a village hall in Kirkmichael, there was a village hall in Ballantoom, and there was also one in Enniskdhu.
Yeah.
And they all had their own things. And when there was dances in Kirkmichael Hall, there wouldn't be anything in the other ones, so they all sort of worked around each other.
Yeah.
And it was only 2 miles to Enniskdhu, and not much more to Ballantoom.
Right.
Although we never went to Ballantoom very often, it was a much smaller hall.
Mm-hmm.
And the Enniskdhu one, it was quite small as well, but you thought it was big enough. Well, it was big enough for the dances that they had at that time. It burnt down. There was a fire there, destroyed the hall and the rifle range.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly when that was, but I think it must have been in the 60s sometime.
I was talking to Ian Cairo and he said that as well.
Oh, like, he would know
he
about
was
that.
The uh-huh. chairman of it.
Yeah, and of course there was a hall in Bridgecarmy, and there was a hall at Blackwater at Dalrollian, where it's called the Dalrollian Coach House or Blackwater.
All right, but there was the Blackwater Inn. At some
That's right. Well, it was just down from that a wee bit. So there was these, and there was a hall in Glenshee, but the hall in Glenshee was really quite small. It was just a wooden shed.
Right. Yeah.
But I think I touched on the Scouts earlier on. The Scouts started in Kirkmichael about, I'd be 14, so we're talking 53, it was after the coronation, 53-54 it would be about that. Two guys, you've probably heard the names, Gordon Sutherland, who had the Borland Farm,
okay,
and Bert Rattray, who's, you maybe know Jim Rattray, do you? And he's still up there somewhere. He
okay.
built a log cabin, a lot of the log cabin hotels. Bert worked as a joiner for Mingus and Gordon, and they had both been, I don't know who instigated it, but they together decided they would resurrect the scout troop in Kirkmichael. And we met in what is now the Session House.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, I don't know, I wasn't aware of who was actually pulling the strings at the time to get the whole thing off the ground, but we bought what had been an old church hall from Kinloch, just outside Blairgowrie.
Right.
And I can't remember the amount of money, but £140 rings a bell, which doesn't sound a lot now, but in these days that was quite a lot of money for a wee place to rise.
Yeah.
And what happened was there was a huge turnout of volunteers, led mainly by the joiners, which was Mingus at that time. And we went down to Kinloch, and it was all guys about my own age, you know, 14, 15, maybe 12, 13, 14, 15. You were all encouraged to help. How much
right,
help
yeah.
we were, I don't know, but we all learnt a lot, actually. And we demolished it into sections, and it was carted up to Kirkmichael, and it was erected on the site of the tennis court that I explained
yeah.
here. And I can't remember how long it was, in 10-foot sections, and rings my mind that we arranged it was three 10-foot sections long, so that would be 30 feet, and then there would be extra out the back that we used for extra storerooms and such like. And the Scouts met there for certainly up until the 70s, sometime or other. that was the Scout Hall. And we used to run dances as well sometimes in the hall,
right, okay.
Local things, to yeah. records.
Yeah.
The performing rights people never found out
yeah,
about us.
Yeah.
But we run dances in there to the records, when I think about it now. They're all 78s, there must have been as scratchy as anything. But but everybody was quite happy, you know, this
okay,
would be,
yeah.
be a Friday night. If there was nothing on in the hall, of course.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And okay, we didn't make a lot of cash, but it was money that went into the Scout Fund. I remember Gordon, his brother, I think, had the Kinloch Arms, was it Kinloch Hotel, just outside Blake Academy. And he used to run Scout gang shows for the area. And we ended up purchasing from him an amplifier, which was an old wartime thing, because a lot of the things that you had in these days were ex-army, because there's so much surplus
yeah.
in the market. And it worked off a 12-volt battery, as well as mains. And we went across to Glenshee Hall with it once. We had a dance there, and I think it was the first time they'd ever heard Jimmy Shand playing a dance in,
right.
in Glenshee. As long as the battery stayed up.
Yeah. Band,
so it ran off a car battery, and it was able to... I can remember doing that. That only happened once, I think, though. But... No, we had some quite good nights in there. There was also people looked in, and it was cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Fun, you know.
Yeah.
The Scouts went on. I was involved with the Scouts after I had left to go to work, and I helped Bert up until I got married and moved away properly. So that would be about 62, 63, round about then. At one time we had, must have been 24, 25 Scouts when it started, because
uh-huh.
they came from Glenshee as well, but travel made it difficult and that sort of
yeah.
Died off, and it was just local lads in the village. Of course, still got quite a lot of, I was just looking at some of the old photos the other day there of the guys. We did quite a lot of camps. Nothing very far away. Remember being across at in Glenshee, twice up in Deeside. Various other efforts. You know, that was, you were asking earlier on how you entertained yourself.
Yeah.
That filled a lot of the kids' time in these days.